Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. I'm in New Orleans at Radio Row in the Convention Center downtown ahead of Super Bowl 59. Danny is back in our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard. Washington's preparing this offseason to protect its star quarterback. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondori & Murad, can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time for your Beltway Blitz, so let's get it started on the hardwood. Keith Smith covers the Association for Spot Track, and he joins us now. What an unbelievable weekend and a staggering trade we saw. I mean, how do you make Luka going to the Lakers for Anthony Davis heading back to Dallas make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you do your best. Yes, I mean, this is just a bonkers out-of-nowhere trade. Anytime a trade starts with the reaction of, did the reporter who broke it get hacked? Like, you know it's a big one, and that's exactly where we all were. I mean, this for the Lakers, they now have their post-LeBron James future, whenever that may start, in place with Luka Doncic. And for the Dallas Mavericks, they might have been able to get more if they had done a full-scale bidding war. But they really wanted Anthony Davis, and they feel like they're positioned now to compete with Davis and Kyrie leading that team moving forward.
So my assessment outside looking in, it's not like I'm following Dallas every day, Keith, but I get the sense that they begged Luka for a couple of years or however long to please get in shape, please take this seriously, and he didn't. And, you know, they probably told him, like, it's going to end up costing you, and it wasn't costing him when he was an MVP-caliber player and got him to the finals, et cetera, and now it's maybe starting to catch up to him, right, where he wasn't and hasn't been in shape, and they finally said, we just can't give this guy the super-duper triple-quadruple explosion end-of-all-things and days maximum. We can't be tied to this guy because it's going to get worse from here. That's my thought. Your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly been some reporting to that extent that the Mavs have been frustrated with his lack of conditioning, his lack of commitment to getting into better shape. The fact that, you know, there seems to be, you know, a spot where he's been a little bit more injury prone in recent years. And is that related to the other stuff? Probably, but who really knows? So now, you know, we're in a place where I think what the Mavericks were looking at is, yeah, if we lock in to him on a 5-year Supermax deal of over $345 million, that's it. This is our team now going forward, and it's going to be tricky to move it. And let's see if we can get a guy who we love, and that seems what they do in Anthony Davis, let's get out in front of this and make that deal happen.
Keith, tell me where I'm wrong. A generational, once-in-a-lifetime kind of player, top-of-the-association talent, got traded, and in a sport where we just saw what De'Aaron Fox netted with like 87 first-round picks over the next 42 years or whatever from 19 teams, Anthony Davis, who doesn't play enough basketball, isn't close to enough for me. Like, I don't know how that was enough for Luka. What am I missing?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the kind of consistent criticism, is that the Mavs didn't get enough. Now, I will say on Anthony Davis, he has played, you know, over 90% of the games over the last two seasons. He has really turned a corner with that. He's been available, and he's been excellent. I mean, he's still one of the best defensive players in the league. He's, you know, a great offensive player. He's going to be a great pairing with Kyrie Irving, you know, for the Mavericks. The Mavericks have kind of said, oh, hey, we like the fact that we have a little bit of, you know, additional flexibility moving forward, because AD eventually will make less than what Luka would have made in him and Kyrie, and we can go. And they got a, you know, first-round pick out of it. But, yeah, it's tough, because I think what Dallas's main goal here was, if you trade Luka in one of those packages where it is, here's, you know, 7 first-round picks and some young players, you're basically saying we're rebuilding. And at that point it is, let's trade Kyrie Irving, let's trade everybody else on the roster and lean into this heavily. And they did not want to do that. They did not want to bottom out. And that's part of why they were like, all right, we think Anthony Davis is our guy. I think it's a bit of an overvaluation on Davis, but I, you know, at least can respect where they're coming from, even if I, as you do, disagree with that valuation.
Keith, great with us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hopping on, man. Hit that local 53 center, Tobias. Our guy Mitch Tischler, who's live and in color down there at Radio Row, I understand, right next to you, GP and Darius and company. Mitch, should this team, this organization, be in the Myles Garrett business?
Absolutely they should be. Absolutely they should be. He's an elite player, and he's one of the few guys, as you look at positional needs, that I would give up a lot to get, because he's somebody who can change the tenor of that defense immediately when he steps in.
Two firsts, would that be too rich? That's what the 33rd team has floated as a possible compensatory package.
It's definitely rich, and it's a lot to ask, but let's also remember that we're talking about pick 29 this year. Next year, presumably, you want this team to be, you know, you think this team is going to be good again. It's going to be a pick probably in the 20s or later. So as we talk about two first-rounders, you're not talking about, you know, top 10 picks, top half of the draft type of picks. It's rich, and it might hurt in the moment to do it, but the second you see Myles Garrett in burgundy and gold chasing after quarterbacks and wrecking opposing offenses, I'm going to feel way, way better about it all.
Mitch, forget Myles Garrett for a second. Where would you put defensive end in general on your list of needs and things that this group has to improve heading in the next year?
Extremely high, and not just for the defensive end who's going to get after the quarterback and get you sacks and be a wrecker in the pass game. But we saw teams attack this Commanders defense on the edges in the run game over and over and over and over this year. I think if you look at the 9 30-plus yard runs that Saquon had against the – or 20-plus yard runs Saquon had against the Commanders in the 3 games this year, almost every one was to the edges, to the outside.
I'm sorry, I thought you said 9 20-plus yard runs.
I believe it was 9 was
9?
The number.
Nine times this semester?
I'm sorry, I thought you said 9.
9?
You got to get somebody who can set an edge there. You got to get a big body who can set an edge. And they did a good job of bringing in some journeyman defensive ends, guys who had been there and done guys who had been there before, but you didn't bring in guys who were everyday NFL starters. They were more spot starters, particularly in passing situations, and they didn't do a good job of setting the edge, and we saw this defense get carved up by running backs over there.
So I'm generally just a little more conservative, I would say, than the average fan when it comes to making these splash moves and giving up big assets. I have no problem throwing money at Myles Garrett. I would throw all the money. They got third in cap space. And Jaden Daniels being on a rookie contract gives me permission to kind of get crazy with my money. It's the picks that bother me a little bit more. I think that they'll be picking earlier in the first round next year than they were this year. But even still, I wonder, is there a path to like one of their defensive tackles being packaged in and maybe less compensation? Deron Payne is someone you would think, even after this year, who would still have some value. And I don't mean just for Myles Garrett. For the record.
Right.
I mean, like, is there something they could do where maybe it's a player that's not as good as Myles Garrett as an edge rusher, but a nice pick like a first rounder and Payne or whoever still gets you a quality edge that might not be Myles Garrett, and that player plus keeping one of those picks is still a better overall outcome.
I mean, theoretically, yes, I would love that to be the case. I think Deron Payne and John Allen have kind of shown you where their value is, and it's not particularly high. It doesn't match the dollars that they're making. And so I think when you start talking about packaging those guys in trades, they're big names, they're nice names, but I think the film speaks for itself. When you look at those guys, we just
Allen did play well in the playoffs. I'll give him that.
Allen had three very good games in the playoffs, and he's getting better as it was going, but that doesn't erase the multi-years of so-so play or sometimes bad play that we saw out of them. And so I like the idea of trading somebody. I just don't think that there's a lot of value of guys that you are willing to let go to try and bring back, you know, a Myles Garrett type player.
Mitch, I am desperate for an upgrade at a receiver position opposite Terry McLaurin as a difference maker. Not to beat Carolina, not to beat Cleveland in those games where you can just Jaden Daniels them, route scheme them, whatever, but to win games like Philadelphia where you need an answer on third and eight. That's not just Daniels make a play and kind of wave your hand at it. Where are you at on that?
Listen, I'm not saying they're going to go out and pick A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith in the draft, but we see young receivers impact the NFL every season. And I think as we continue on this process of guys staying in college a little bit longer, I think there's an ability to build receiver through the draft. And as much as I'm okay with trading two number ones potentially for Myles Garrett, I don't want to go out and make T. Higgins the highest paid receiver in the NFL.
With you on that.
And I don't think that he's a very, very good player. Don't get me wrong. He's not the best receiver in the NFL. And we're seeing these receiver contracts start turning into quarterback contracts where every time a really good player comes up, they end up getting money a little bit more than the last guy, a little more than the last guy. T. Higgins would be a revelation as a second wide receiver here in Washington. I just don't want to pay that kind of money for him. And as I look at the landscape of free agent receivers, I start looking at the draft more and more, and as much as they need to build O-line and D-line as well, I think an early pick on a playmaker is something that would do this team a lot of good.
What's your early pick on your dinner time reservation?
Well, we have the media night tonight, so okay. That's going to go a little bit late. Tonight feels a little bit more like a liquid dinner than necessarily a you know, New Orleans meal, but we were here a month ago. You were here a month ago or
that's
so.
Right.
I mean, there is too much good food in the city to not take advantage of it. So I walked in today to the Radio Row, walked up to Grant, and he's got a plate of wings in front of him. I felt like we could have been at any of your Friday hangouts anywhere around the DMV.
The bounty activation out here every year now, this is like 3 years running. It's like a two-story house in Radio Row. They bring players out here each day, and then at noon every day, they put together a little box of like four or five wings for everybody. You can go over and grab. They do a nice job.
Have you gotten to any of the other booths? They have the
I've wandered around.
The Welcome to Pittsburgh booth has fried pickles, which is odd.
Mm. I did not know that.
The Lambeau booth has
looked like they had some type of like cheese hot dog.
They have a brat and also cheese curds.
Okay.
And then the Welcome to New Orleans has shrimp with a bunch of different sauces that are from down here. So listen, walking around here, there's a lot of good food in the Convention Center, Radio Row area, but I don't know that you could go wrong at any of these restaurants.
It's a good scouting report, Mitch.
That's what I'm here for.
He made the lap, I could tell. Darris and I were like, let's see, where are the football players at? Mitch has the scouting report on the pickles for his guys.
Listen, I schedule my interviews. I know when we're going to do them, and in between, I make sure to take laps and get as much free food as I can find.
You also know what we're interested in.
Absolutely.
So you delivered
the
goods.
Get your steps into the shrimp. I love it.
Exactly. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Here's Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports. All right, let's keep it moving on the Beltway Blitz. Welcome in our buddy, Nick Ashew. The BetMGM Networks. Nick Ashew is very handsome. Nicholas, NFL news of the day. Looks like the Houston Texans have made an offensive coordinator hire from the Rams staff, which means Brian Johnson of the Eagles, now Washington, is probably staying put in D.C. after a couple of years in the NFC East.
Yeah, look, I think when you're looking at what Washington just has in general, I think you just want to keep continuity right now. Like, you look around the league, I'm looking at teams like the Lions, and we saw what happened with the Eagles a couple of years ago. When you start losing coordinators and you start having below the head coach and that coaching staff start to get, you know, poached by other teams, you start to lose some level of that continuity. I want to see more than anything right now. I know, obviously, one of the big conversations when we're talking about the Commanders, you know, today is they're keeping the name. There's that continuity. A lot of people don't want that continuity. But, you know, when you have an organization that's flipping things around the way that they have, if you can get to the point where you have a level of continuity staying with any organization on the coaching staff beyond just the head coach, I mean, that's a big deal, and it's really, really hard to do in the NFL. By the way, if my voice sounds terrible, guys, I got some kind of cold today, so I'm going to do the best I can with you. I heart you both, but if I sound absolutely awful, it's my head is an absolute mess today. And there's no medicine anywhere. Everybody's buying it, and I try to go get it, and there's just nothing anywhere at a pharmacy today. So that's been my day.
Well, when I get a cold, I'm disgusting. When you have a cold, you just sound sexy. So I would say the cold has a Nick Ash
now,
and it's in for it. Yeah. I love your eyes. So the other point I want to make about the Super Bowl is this. What's the argument for Philadelphia winning this game beyond the fact that too much good has already happened in D.C. and we have to get knocked down a peg or two? Like, this, it feels like that team is excellent and they're getting overlooked somehow.
You know, everybody's always going to overlook anybody playing the Chiefs because at this point you're crazy to fade the Chiefs, like, just in general. Look, I did that last year. I bet the 49ers. I thought the 49ers would win. Sorry, guys. And, you know, it's just the Chiefs feel inevitable to me. But, like, listen, when you look at what – The Eagles have on paper in terms of a team, they're better defensively, and they have more weapons offensively too. Like, on paper, minus quarterback for sure, the Eagles are a more talented team than the Chiefs. The thing is, in the NFL, you got to have a quarterback. And when you have Patrick Mahomes, especially come playoff time, that's all the Chiefs care about anymore. Like, they are what the Patriots used to be, what the Spurs were in their prime. Any of these teams that have just won multiple championships, they get to the point where it's like, as long as we get to the playoffs, that's all that matters. So it's hard when you look at the Chiefs and go, yeah, I don't think they're as good in terms of on paper as what the Eagles bring to the table. But the reality of it is the Chiefs are the Eagles are underdogs in this game because you have Patrick Mahomes and they've won two straight Super Bowls already and three total with that group that's there. But listen, I'll tell you what, man, for everybody that wants to talk about, you know, how great the Chiefs run game has been, if you look at the playoffs, Kansas City has not been that great against the run. They gave up 149 yards to the Texans, another 147 to the Bills. And we know what the strength is for the Eagles, right? It's running the football and it's Saquon Barkley. If the Eagles continue to do what they did that got them to this point, running the hell out of the football, they absolutely can prevent the Chiefs from making history. But God, it's tough. It's just, it's hard to even go against anything with the Chiefs because of what we've seen from them.
Nick, go rest that voice and your handsome face. Thank you for the time.
I love you guys. I'm sorry. I'll see you.
Be good, brother. Don't you worry about a thing. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. That was your Beltway Blitz. Soon as we return, we will be giving away tickets to go see The Weeknd at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. So you better be locked in. And also, a year ago today, a giant anniversary for the Washington Commanders. We'll explain next.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
As promised, right now, caller 10. Dial 800-636-1067. You're going to win a pair of tickets to the weekend after-hours tour Saturday, August 2nd, Northwest Stadium with Playboy Cardi. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know Playboy Cardi, but the weekend, I know he's very good.
Is Playboy Cardi a person? And Mike Dean. Tickets are on sale Friday, February 7th at 10 a.m. For tickets and more event information, visit 1067thefan.com. I know The Weeknd, that's a great show. I'm glad we've got tickets. It's going to be a hot commodity all week. People are jacked up. I just want you to know that this could be a made-up person, both of them, Playboy Cardi and Mike Dean, and I wouldn't know the difference. So if Darius wants to just mix in, he could mix up random people, just make up names, like Turtle Soldier or something, or Cough Drop.
Like an AI-generated name.
Yeah, exactly. Just make up a name every day and slide it in, and I will read Ron Burgundy style what it says. But I do know The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
And I know The Weeknd is a stud.
Fantastic.
This is a big show.
That dude is incredibly talented, by the way. This is a quick side. He's got, obviously he doesn't have like the dancing chops of Michael Jackson, rest in peace, but it's that same unbelievable sound and like a huge variants in catalog that reminds me of Michael Jackson. He's a star.
On Playboy Cardi.
I think I've got kind of the appropriate read there. All right.
Playboy Cardi?
Nope. I don't even have a bit. There's like no joke I could do where it's like some guy named Steve. You know what I mean? Who's like, nope, my real name is actually Playboy Cardi, and I'm here. I am. Is he a singer? Is he rap? I don't know what he does. I don't know.
Today. February 3rd, 2024, Dan Quinn was hired by the Washington Commanders to be their head coach. I want to know how people feel today compared to a year ago about Dan Quinn. An NFC championship game will change the approval rating just a little bit, obviously. Yeah. Heck of a run for Washington, and it was really through his mentorship and tutelage, a lot of those players, his culture building that made it all possible. But let's start with this. Where did he do best? What were his strengths this year? And if there were any shortcomings or weaknesses, what were those? Let's go through it.
So just in terms of reaction real quick, at the time I was whelmed. I wasn't, devastated by it. I wasn't over the moon by it. The only thing that I objected to at the time was people that kind of swallowed the company line where they said, this was the plan all along. They always wanted him. It's just not what it looks like when that's your guy. It's not. The guy's not at the airport on a, you know, the day after his interview in the regular terminal with the other schleps at National to be photographed by Nikki Jabala. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what it looks like. They ended up with a guy that, you know, was the culture builder and the right dude. So we talk about this all the time when it comes to coaches, GP. And the best coach for the best team may not be the right coach for your team at the time. And here's what I mean. This group needed what Dan Quinn provided. The consensus building, culture building, everyone buying in. Ron Rivera was able to talk it at the press conference and say all the right things. But I don't think he was about it. You know what I mean? Like, there were small examples over the years, but when there were times where, hey, are you going to apply yourself and do everything you possibly can and work hard? No, I'm going to take this time off and do this, that, and the other thing, when he had all the jobs. Dan Quinn says the right thing at the podium, has all the catchphrases, the backwards hat, I'm very approachable, I'm a cool dude, but then it seems, to this point, the follow-through. And it's guys from all over the league. It's not just buddies of mine from that time in Carolina or that time in Atlanta, as the case was. It's, hey, I had a hard time dealing with Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I'm going to grab that guy. Or I had a hard time, look, I can go get Brian Johnson, who I don't have the same level of association with. The consensus building and the fact that they got younger guys, older guys, the Ken Nortons of the world, the David Blaus, the Anthony Lynn's former head coaches as part of his staff, that build, to me, was the ultimate strength to get a bunch of people in here, young, old, and everything in between as a staff, and then, you know, subsequently do that with the players, where we really are about a culture. Not just the words, not just the occasional catchphrase here or there, but every day there's a standard and we're going to meet it.
So I was not a fan of the hire at all, you'll remember. I was disappointed and bummed when they hired Dan Quinn. And he's been tremendous. He has been, to use your diction, you know, kind of exactly what they needed at that time. For me, it was never personal about Dan Quinn. I didn't know him at all. I knew of him like everybody else. I followed the league very closely when he was in Atlanta. And I know that everybody that I am close with around the league loves and adores him. So I didn't think it was a situation where they were hiring someone who was not going to be popular in the building. I just don't do defensive head coaches. That's not for me. Some people love refried beans. I do not. I would not hire a retread defensive coordinator. It's just not something that excites me in a hiring process. You only get so many hires over your time, whether that's as a GM or a head coach or whatever, and I'm swinging for the fences with, you know, a play caller to pair with the quarterback. So that was kind of my initial issue, I guess, with Quinn. But the hire was particularly disappointing for me at the time and exacerbated by how similar he was to Ron Rivera. And we made the jokes back then, but who am I talking about? The D.C. head coach who had not finished on a high note in the NFC South after a few years of 500-ish football, who got blown out, who had gotten to the Super Bowl that time. And I kind of thought him and Rivera, while not the same guy, are sold on the same shelf. You know, they are similar products. When you go to the grocery store, they're both on aisle 7, so to speak. What I would say is that Quinn did everything, and I mean everything, better than Ron Rivera as a head coach since he got here. He also benefits immensely from a real GM in Adam Peters, a real front office structure,
yes,
with Lance Newmark and Sosna and all the guys underneath of Adam Peters, you know, a real ownership group, which Ron didn't have early on, and, of course, the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. You know, I don't want to take away from Dan Quinn, who I think had an amazing job, but I think if Ron Rivera had Jaden Daniels, remember when he had Cam Newton, he probably would have been more highly regarded around these parts as well. So the ownership group being an A, the GM being an A, and the quarterback being an A-plus probably all helped Dan Quinn as well. But here's what I want to give him a lot of credit for. Frankly, everything. But the staff he built was amazing. You know, when Rivera got hired, Danny, he brought all his guys from Carolina that had coached with him with the Panthers and said, hey, let's do the 7-9 staff from Carolina here and see what happens. And then, weirdly, they won 7 games a few times. Dan Quinn went around the league and hired some of the best assistants that were available in every capacity. He built an amazing staff. Some guys had worked with him before, but most of them, especially the entire offensive staff, hadn't. And that staff was the best thing that happened.
So I want to jump back to one other point you made, because I said that and I agree with you. I think that was a testament to him. But just again, it's inevitable you compare him with Ron, his predecessor. And here in one regard, while you were talking, it made me think of this. I don't think Ron could have done what Dan Quinn did on a number of levels. But remember, to get Ron, it had to be coach-centric. Ron's also the GM or the team president. He's sitting in meetings. I like that commander's name. I really do. That's an interesting one to make. It makes a lot of sense. He's doing everything. He's wearing all the hats. What was Dan Quinn here to do? I'm not here to be the GM, man. I just want to coach football. Yes. You see what I'm saying? Like the ability to say, yeah, I have some input. Yes, in my opinion, I'll give it. But to build a consensus instead of having a bunch of lackeys around that agreed with Ron. Right? Like, the guys, the higher-ups in this organization reported to Ron. That's not the case, and that's not winning. That's not the right way to do things. Dan Quinn is a puzzle piece that goes into the chain of command here. He's got a critical role, or an incredibly important one. He's in charge of that room. But Adam Peters is going to be the guy that picks the players, with Quinn's input and everybody else, and they'll build the consensus. But that part of it, to me, is what set him ahead. So if you're just doing a resume style, you're 100% right. It's why I don't know the man. I've seen him from afar like everybody else had. And I kind of went, oh, okay, I get it. They're trying to have a guy to kind of stabilize, right the ship, turn the culture around, and maybe your genius is a couple years down the line. What I underestimated is the level of commitment and follow-through, the humility to not have to be the end-all, be-all, not have your own logo, not be telling people, here's my riverboat T-shirt or whatever, and going to do these other things that aren't about football and aren't about winning. I was wildly impressed with I almost called him Dan Campbell, with Dan Quinn in that regard. Where
no, it was Dan Quinn, yeah.
Where there was no stopping. You know what I mean? There was no off switch to the brand.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. If you want to give your thoughts on Dan Quinn 1 year later, I think the staff is the best thing he did. It set a really good tone. And it gave them a chance to succeed because they were well coached at every single position. I also think his popularity around the league, the fact that he is so beloved and well liked by players, was an immense benefit as well. Because you had guys that wanted to come play for him again, like Bobby Wagner, as an example. I thought that was a huge deal. And then in game, I thought he was pretty good, honestly. I mean, there's always going to be little things you can quibble about, time management here or there. But his obsession and seeming 2020's makeover to be Mr. Fourth Down guy that you were just kind of referencing. I mean, I don't know where that came from, but God bless it. I love it. Like, that was his way to my heart, man. It was like a neighbor bringing over brownies when you move in or something. I really grew to enjoy him rolling the dice and going for those fourth downs and being ultra aggressive and understanding I've got a cheat code of a weapon at quarterback and my offense is very, very hard to stop in short yardage. So I guess if the question is how much differently do you feel about Dan Quinn now than a year ago, I mean, for me it's significant in that I didn't want him to be the head coach here a year ago, and I was wrong. He did a great job this past season. Now, I still have my own proclivities that I'm not going to be able to untrain myself from. I wish that they had an offensive-minded head coach that was paired with Jaden Daniels that, you know, like, just as an example, if Cliff Kingsbury was their head coach and I knew those two guys were going to be together for the next 12 years potentially, I would feel better about that than Dan Quinn as their head coach and the offensive staff going to inevitably be in flux here in the next year or two. But the hire by Adam Peters clearly was a perfect fit, and he's built a tremendous culture, and you can see why he's so popular. You can see why players love this guy.
Yeah, I mean, the where the rubber met the road, it wasn't, you know, one OTA or one training camp or whatever. It was this constant and consistent on message, this is who we are and this is how we do it. It didn't go away when, you know, like, again, I can't help but bring up Rivera. We're going to do this. We're going to behave this way. We'll arrive violently and we'll be aggressive. First game against Arizona, they stopped calling timeouts and stopped trying to win because it was like, yeah, this one's probably not going to happen. So you're about it until it's not exactly convenient. This group took on that personality. They were never out of games. They were always relentless. They always competed. They did everything they possibly could, and you squeezed every ounce out of each stone here. With this team, with this organization, took on this personality. Huge credit to Harrison Company, Adam Peters and Company for figuring out this is what this group needed, and you know, my opinion went from, okay, it's fine, let's see, to, hell yeah, they got the right guy.
Yeah, he was the right guy for this year, undoubtedly. I mean, and I think just the culture building part of it is going to be a win next year, too. I wonder really about the long term and the ceiling, but I'll say this. If Jaden Daniels is a top five guy, if he's a Mount Rushmore quarterback in this league that's trying to knock off Burrow or Jackson to be up there with Allen and Mahomes as an example, then it probably doesn't matter that much who your coach is. Or a lot of things really don't matter that do for everybody else because you've got the answer key, so to speak. But let's hear from you guys next. 800-636-1067 is the number. Dan Quinn just had a tremendous first calendar year as the head coach of this team. He has a legitimate chance to win Coach of the Year, and it would be well-deserved after Washington went from not winning 11 games for 33 years to a 14-win regular and postseason this year. Where have you grown to enjoy him the most, and how do you feel about him now compared to 1 year ago? We're Grant and Danny. How about Dan Quinn's first year in D.C., a front runner for Coach of the Year? The NFL award show coming up ahead of the Super Bowl this weekend from New Orleans, which is where I am right now live on Radio Row. Danny is in our D.C. studios. You're listening to The Fan. Quinn, who was a head coach for 6 years in Atlanta, had not gone over 500. Heck, he hadn't won eight games since his third year as a coach. He was 7-9, 7-9, 0-5 in his final three seasons with the Falcons. So you'll have to forgive me for not having been all that excited when he was hired and brought in here to Washington. But a 12-5 regular season and a couple of playoff wins later, Dan Quinn is beloved by this fan base. And the question we have for you, 1 year to the day after he was hired, what grew on you about Quinn the most over these last 365 days? Let's go to Jared in Rockville on Grant and Danny on The Fan. What's up, Jared?
Hey, guys. I have a comment and then a quick question for you, Grant. My comment is I think the biggest thing that's won me over so far is just his humility whenever he speaks to the media. Like, it just seems like he says the right things in a way that you want them to be said. I don't feel like he's lying every time he talks like I have with coaches in the past. And then my question for you, you're a much smarter football guy than I am. And I understand the concept of a defensive-minded head coach versus an offensive-minded. What would happen if Dan Quinn had to call offense for a game? Does that mean like he couldn't be able to? How does that whole thing work?
It's a great question. So could he call plays for a game? I'm sure he could, but there's a difference between the scheming and the designing of an offense, which after decades of stopping offenses, he would know how to do. But the point is not a offensive play caller for the sake of someone who's talking into the headset. The point is the relationship between the quarterback and the guy that they're with all of the time. So as an example, if Cliff Kingsbury had not made the really team-friendly decision to have not taken any interviews until after Washington got eliminated, which cost him any chance of getting a head coaching job this year, and he would have left. Now Jaden Daniels goes from Cliff Kingsbury being the guy he spends 14, 15 hours a day with to another person, and it just makes that relationship harder. The offensive scheme changes, the play calling changes, the tendencies change, and so that's kind of the idea of offense versus defense. It's not for me about like, well, it's an offensive league, although that's certainly a factor. It's really about see Kansas City with Mahomes and Reed. When you strike gold on the coach and the quarterback, if the coach is a play caller on offense, you don't have to worry about anything.
Keep that continuity, yeah.
Until one of those two guys retires. Whereas that's just not the case. It's the opposite of the case when you have a defensive-minded head coach. Not to say, Danny, that it's impossible. As I said last year at the time, nothing's impossible. There's always a different way to win. There's always a different way to break through the wall. But I just go with, like, best practice and years of data. And there's basically 20 years on the side of the teams that consistently win in this league in this era have offensive-minded head coaches, and the teams that hire defensive-minded struggle. So that was kind of my logic. But the fact is, Dan Quinn, man, it doesn't matter what side of the ball he's on. Like, leader of men, ran the building cleanly, and I don't think they have the year they just had with Dan Quinn if they hire a first-time offensive-minded head coach who's figuring it out in the league for the first time. Now, That doesn't mean that this was the better alternative, I guess, in the sense of, you know, if you didn't have as good a first year, but you have 15 years of someone and three Super Bowls ultimately, it could still work the other way. I'll be curious to see what Ben Johnson, as an example, does in Chicago. But it's a good point. I think he could probably call plays. I mean, guys know both sides of the ball when they've been around as long as Dan Quinn has.
Sure. And you know, it's not as if he's, you know, poking his head in on a Friday going, so this is the offensive room, huh? Like, he's involved in a lot of ways, but he's the sort of, I don't know, not the GM because you have a role like that, but he's almost like the football coach's GM where he's involved a little bit of everything. He's a sounding board. He's an influencer. He's a consensus builder, et cetera. When you go around, you look at the playoff teams, right? There are a handful of teams that are coached by that sort of the central casting thing you're talking about. Offensive coordinator, offensive genius who, you know, then gets the head job. There's also a bunch of teams that aren't. And there's challenges with those teams that aren't, that are you know, just sort of, again, different than what you're talking about. That's the easiest road. Offensive genius, head coach, that's it. You don't have to worry about anything else. The staff under him will change. His apprentices will get head coaching jobs or promotions elsewhere. But you look at Buffalo or Baltimore or Houston or Tampa. Even Detroit is kind of in this vein. They have offensive geniuses, but Campbell's an offensive background. But I don't think of him as like an offensive guru. I think of him as a, you know, kneecap biting leader of men type guy. It can work. It certainly can. But just, you know, your point about best practice, I'd almost translate that to simplest, least resistance practice has always made sense to me, but doesn't change what Dan Quinn did this year.
Yeah, but I think it's important to note, like, it's not like he doesn't know offense. That's not my
right,
point.
Right. No, totally.
It's really about the relationships and the restarting and the camaraderie of being in one offense for many years. How many guys have been claimed by, like, what could Jason Campbell, just to name a guy that was here, have been if he didn't have a new OC every single year? Now, he wouldn't have been Jaden Daniels. I don't think he was special. But whatever a player could be, if they had one quality play caller and designer and coach for 10 years versus six or seven coordinators and offenses over 10 years, I guarantee you player A, I just described, has a better career than player B, even if they have an equal amount of talent. Let's go to Musan Falls Church on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. You know, you could just see it, the camaraderie in the locker room, the high fives, the hugs he was giving the player. A true player's coach, and Dan Quinn, he is. And just the fact that he brought back the winning mentality. I mean, the W's speak for themselves. The guys want to play for him. You can see it. You can feel it, man. And all praise to him. He deserves that Coach of the Year award, without a doubt.
I hope he gets it. It looked, Danny, like Kevin O'Connell was the front runner for a long time.
Yeah.
The NFL, they have the opportunity that a couple of weeks into the playoffs, you can still kind of add to your and bake into your assessment before you have to vote. So I think there is a chance, honestly, with the Vikings collapsing in Week 18, not that it was O'Connell's fault, but he got outcoached by Aaron Glenn, and then they got destroyed by McVay in that playoff game offensively as well. You can make the case that they crashed and burned, and maybe, you know, Washington with Dan Quinn finishing the way they did, then winning two playoff games, maybe he overtook them. There's some betting markets where he's actually the favorite for Coach of the Year now.
Which is well-deserved. I mean, there are a couple markets where they're making this case. A couple guys that deserve it. He is on the list is the point to me. Whether he wins it or not, I think, you know, he is one of those deserving guys. So if it goes to Kevin O'Connell, I'm not going to gripe too much. I personally would vote for Dan Quinn, given the fact they're 4-13, they've been a hot garbage forever, and now they're not, and they're thought of as one of the teams to beat going in the next season in the NFL. He's central to that, so I'd vote for him. But yeah, it wouldn't be a crime if he doesn't get it.
Roger Goodell was just asked about the Commanders playing in D.C. at the RFK site. I want to get into that when we return, and you will hear from Bob Fesco, who does morning radio in Kansas City, who's out here with us on Radio Row in New Orleans, who's ready for yet another Chiefs Super Bowl. Does he know that everyone thinks that they've never actually won a game without the help of the officials? And at what point does he think that the Chiefs fatigue is going to set in around the country, or has it already happened? I will ask him about that. Grant and Danny with you from New Orleans ahead of Super Bowl 59 on The Fan.